Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Philippians 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those workers of evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself could have such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as to righteousness in the law, faultless. But whatever was gained to me, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should embrace this point of view. And if you think differently about some issue, God will reveal this to you as well. Nevertheless, we must live up to what we have already attained. Join one another in following my example, brothers, and carefully observe those who walk according to the pattern we set for you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. This is God's Word. In many of the places where Paul founded churches, he faced immediate opposition and follow-up opposition. Immediate opposition refers to the persecutions he faced from locals, sometimes Jewish, sometimes Gentile, but locals who were opposed to the growing gospel message. And we read about these frequently in the book of Acts. Although there was much opposition in these ways, God saved his chosen ones in that new city, and a new church was formed. But I talked about follow-up opposition, and here's what I mean by that. Follow-up opposition, as I referred to it earlier, has to do with the infiltration of false teachers in the churches that were established in these cities. It is in Paul's letters, not the book of Acts, where we learn about this type of opposition. There were different types of false teachers. For instance, the church in Ephesus faced a different kind of threat from false teachers than the church at Colossae faced. But one type of false teaching that these new churches faced was from a group that has been called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were a group of Jewish people who went to these Gentile churches. And they would tell the new Gentile converts to Christ that they needed to be circumcised. Ouch. And that all of these new believers needed to start obeying the law of Moses. Here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul warned the Philippian church about this group when he wrote, Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision. And again, that's verse 2 here in Philippians chapter 3 from the NIV. And the point of these words was to tell the believers that there was nothing deficient about their relationship to God. Christ fulfilled the law, so there was no need to be obedient to it any longer. And we saw this in the remainder of verse 3 when we read, "It is we who serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." And again, that's Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 from the NIV. Now, the phrase "boast in Christ Jesus" is a shorthand way of speaking about how Christ has kept the law for us. Theologians call this keeping of the law that Christ did for us, we call this the active obedience of Christ. And like his death, which they call his passive obedience, Christ's righteousness is credited, it is imputed to us at the time of our salvation. God wants his people to know that everything that was necessary for them to be right with God was fully accomplished in Christ. So there's no act of positive obedience that you must do to be declared right before God, nor is there any personal sacrifice that you must make to be declared right before God. In verses 4 through 6, Paul described his personal religious credentials. More than any Judaizer who might come to Philippi, according to verse 4b, Paul was religiously qualified under Judaism to obtain, and these are his words in verse 6b, righteousness based on the law. Paul, he tells us, did everything that someone might do who is trying to be declared righteous under the law. But in verses 7 through 11, Paul described how being justified by faith in Christ was so much better than the theoretical righteousness that a law-abiding Jew might think that he has. Paul wrote in verse 9 that he wanted to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Because of this salvation by faith, Paul pursued knowing Christ and living for him, according to verses 10 through 14, as all mature believers should, according to verse 15. Today, there are groups who call themselves Christians, but emphasize the need to obey the law. Some of these people are Jewish. Others, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics, are simply legalists. Many people find a feeling of spirituality by performing rituals and rites or by obedience to some Old Testament dietary command. But the books of the New Testament and this chapter of Scripture is an excellent example. But the books of the New Testament teach clearly that Christ has done everything you ever need to be right with God. Obedience to Christ is a matter of loving service, not a matter of earning God's favor. So don't ever let anyone tell you that you need faith in Jesus plus something else, some ritual or obedience or some command. Christ is all we need, and in him is hidden all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Our goal as believers, then, is, according to verse 10, to know him. That's what the Christian life is all about. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and there you can subscribe to these devotionals as a podcast or as an email subscription. And either way, every day you'll receive the new release, either in your email or in your podcast app, and that can help you build a Bible reading habit to get you consistently in God's Word, and I can help you apply it by listening to the devotional. This is completely free, and you can quit anytime you like if it's not for you. Just unsubscribe. And so there's no risk to you and there's no cost. So give it a try. Again, go to dailypbj.com/subscribe. And if you'd like to help me with financial support, please go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.